Okay, well, this is the place where I say pretty much the same thing. I'm going to introduce it just a bit differently tonight, and I'll say, turn with me, if you will, to what is certainly one of the most important parshot, that's parsha plural, in Scripture. And obviously it contains the Ten Devarim, the Ten Commandments, the Restatement, and certainly it has what the Mashiach calls the most important commandment in Scripture, the Shema. And it has some other stuff, too, that I think is also vitally important, particularly when we realize that it has been turned on its head, overlooked, lied about, by both the Whore Church of the South, the Whore Church of the North, and the Whore Synagogue of the South. And that's the part about not adding to or subtracting from. So, turn with me, if you will, to the place where it begins, which is Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23. And it says, "And I besought," and it's in the Hebrew, that's Vayet Kanan, Yahuwah at that time. And this is Moshe speaking, of course. He said, "O Yahuwah Eloheka, you have begun to show your servant thy greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do according to your works and according to your mighty acts?" So he is fixing to ask one more time. And here we go. "Let me go over, I pray you, and see the good land on the other side of the Jordan, that goodly hill country in Lebanon." He asked, and of course, we already know the answer. He was told no. "Yahuwah," he says, "was wroth with me for your sakes, and he didn't listen. He didn't shamar. He didn't hearken unto me. Yahuwah said to me instead, 'Let that suffice you.'" And this is an interesting way to put it. "Let that suffice you. Speak no more unto me of this matter." And in the Hebrew, this is literally a rav lecha. And it's also translated by some of the sages as, "You have so much." You have, lecha. In other words, look, you've had a good life. You've got lots going on. Don't be complaining to me about that one thing, and you know why. "So get yourself up to the top of Mount Pisgah. Lift up your eyes to the west, to the north, south, and east. Behold with your eyes." You're not going to go over the Jordan, but he is going to let him see it, of course, and we knew that. "But charge Joshua instead," Yahushua, "and encourage him and strengthen him, because he will be the one who will go over before this people. He'll cause them to inherit the land, which you shall see." So, says Moshe, repeating the story, "We abode in the valley against Beth Peor." And then we begin chapter 4, and it says, "And now, O Israel, hearken." So, here it is, basically, again, Shema Israel, unto the statutes and unto the ordinances which I teach you. Now, statutes, ha-chukim, and the ordinances, ha-mishpatim, elements of the law, things that I'm going to teach you. Lama, that's the first time that word teach appears in the Torah, is right here. "To do them, so that you might live and go in and possess a land which Yahuwah, Elohim of your father, is giving to you." And here comes one of the ones that I suggest people highlight, underline, and remember, because you're not going to see this taught in most of Sun God Day school. They'll tell you, we'll do this all the time. The very fact that people are meeting on Sun God Day and not when he says is an indication that they have ignored this verse. Deuteronomy 4:2. "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor shall you diminish from it." So, for example, you're not adding a new Sabbath and getting rid of the old one, both in one thing, breaking the command twice. "That you might keep the commandments of Yahuwah your El, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what Yahuwah did in Baal Peor for all the men that followed the Baal, the Lord of Peor, whom Yahuwah your El destroyed from the midst of you. But you did cleave unto Yahuwah your El. All of you who did are alive, every one of you, this day. And behold," he says, "I have taught you," and here comes this word again, "elements of the law." Remember, the word Torah means more than just law, but here is specifics, these statutes and ordinances, hukim and ha-mishpatim, "even as Yahuwah, my El, commanded me, that you can go do so in the midst of the land that you're heading in to possess." So observe, keep, shamar, and do. "Do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples," in the eyes of the goyim, the nations, that when they hear all of these wonderful statutes, they'll say things like, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." They'll recognize that. "For what great nation is there who has Elohim so nigh unto them, as Yahuwah our El is, whensoever we call upon him. Now, I look at that one, and every time I read it, I pause and I think, isn't that amazing? Yah was literally dwelling there in the camp. And they saw his signs, his manifestation, the fire by day, the pillar of cloud by day, fire by night. All of these things, they were getting it firsthand. Arguably, in exile, and he tells us this, we've been warned about it, and we're seeing it, there is a lot more silence. So this verse ought to really resonate. What great nation is there that has Elohim so nigh that he, our El, is available whensoever we call upon him? What great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as this instruction, this Torah, which I set before you this day? Only just do the following. Take heed to yourself. Keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but instead make them known unto your children and unto your children's children. This is what they were supposed to do. We should do it. And obviously, the vast majority of us didn't get this from our fathers. We, in fact, inherited lies, as Jeremiah warned instead. The day that you stood before Yahuwah your El in Horeb, when Yahuwah said unto me, assemble to me the people, I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days of their life upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. You came near and you stood under the mountain. The mountain burned with fire under the heart of heaven with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. Yahuwah spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but remember, you did not see any form. You only heard a voice. Oh boy, and did they hear it. And Yahuwah declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the 10 Deborim. And he wrote them upon those two tablets of stone. Yahuwah commanded me at that time to teach you, again, here's this word, Hukim ve Mishpatim, statutes and ordinances, that you might do them in the land that you are going to go over to possess. So take heed to yourself, good heed, for you didn't see any manner of form on that day that Yahuwah spoke to you in Horeb, out of the midst of the fire. In other words, he's making a point here. Listen to this. You didn't see any kind of a form on that day. You heard it, and you certainly did. Lest you now deal corruptly and make yourself a graven image, even the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Little man on a stick, little idols that you can put in a shrine and worship. None of that. The likeness of any beast that's on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the heavens, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or of any fish that's in the water under the earth. And lest you lift up your eyes unto Hashemayim when you see the sun, the moon, the stars, all of the host of heaven, and you be drawn away, and instead worship them, and serve them, which Yahuwah your El has allotted unto all of the peoples under the whole heaven. But you has Yahuwah taken and brought forth out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. Now, Yahuwah was angered with me, he says, for your sakes, and he swore that I shouldn't go over the other side of the Jordan, that I should not go in unto that good land, which Yahuwah, your El, has given you for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I will not go over the Jordan, but you will go over, you are to, and you'll possess that good land. So, take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the brit, the covenant of Yahuwah your El, which he made with you, and go out and make yourself a graven image, the likeness of anything which Yahuwah your El has forbidden you. For Yahuwah your El is a devouring fire, Elkanah, a jealous God. Now this is one of those names that are outlined in Scripture as being one of the many listed names of Yah or Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. In this case, Elkanah, jealous El. When you beget yourself children and children's children, and you have been a long time in the land, and you begin to deal corruptly. As a matter of fact, he says, you shall deal corruptly. Make a graven image, the form of anything, and do that which is evil in the sight of Yahuwah your El, in order to provoke him. Well, says Moshe, I call. We're going to see these two witnesses again a number of times. Yeshua, of course, invokes them as well, when he said he wasn't changing anything as long as they still exist, making clear that, nope, he's not adding to or subtracting from, and the whole church shouldn't either. I call heaven and earth, back to Moshe, to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from off the land that you're going over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days upon it, but you, in fact, shall be utterly destroyed. And by the way, now we know in hindsight, he was right, this has happened, and Yahuwah will scatter you among the people. Be'amim. all the peoples. And you shall be left few in number among these nations, Goyim, where Yahuwah shall lead you away. And there, and this is an interesting one, there's a Rashi comment on this too. And there it says, you shall serve other gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Nowadays we can add a stone including silicon, I guess, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Now let's pause. How is this? This is where the Rashi comment comes in. You're going to go out and you're going to do these things that are going to provoke him to anger. In other words, making graven images, worshiping other gods, and in fact, descending into paganism. And the punishment is there, when you are scattered among these goyim, there you will serve other gods, the work of men's hands and wood, which you neither see nor hear nor smell. Now, Rashi's comment is, look, that's how you got there, so that's kind of a given, right? That's the penalty is not only to serve the other gods, but you're serving those that serve them as well, back into bondage. And that's an interesting observation. Does it make sense? Are we seeing that today? I will contend, yeah. Okay, but from there you will. Now here comes the really good news. But from there you will seek Yahuwah, and you shall find him. Notice Yeshua mentions the same thing. Seek and ye shall find. From this place of idolatry, of scattering, of exile, you will seek, you will find him. If, that is, you search after him with all your heart and all your soul. In your distress, when all of these things have come upon you, and here it is, in the end of days, in the end of days, I ask it every time we read this, are we there yet? Well, we can certainly see it from here. We're getting awfully close. In the end of days, you will return unto Yahuwah, and you will hearken, shamar, unto his voice. Now, that is what I call a wonderful, an inspiring prophecy. You will seek, you will return, you will hearken. For Yahuwah is a merciful Elohim. He will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore unto them. For ask now of the days past, which were before you, since the day that Yahuwah created man upon the earth, and from one end of the Hashemayim, the heavens, unto the other, has there been anything like this great thing that is, or has been heard, like it? In other words, he's telling them, go and look back at our own history. At this point, folks, we share that history. Did a people ever hear the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire? As you, those who were listening, and by the way, some of them weren't alive. Many of them were born in the wilderness at this point, but they certainly heard it, at least secondhand. For you've heard, and did they live? Or has Elohim essayed to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials and signs and by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm, by great terrors? According to all that Yahuwah your El did for you in Mitzrayim before your eyes, unto you it was shown that you might know that Yahuwah, he is El. There is no one else besides him. Out of heaven, he made you to hear his voice, that he might instruct you. Upon earth, he made you to see his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. Because he loved your fathers, chose their seed after them, and brought you out with his presence, with his great power, out of Mitzrayim, to drive out nations from before you that are greater and mightier than you, and to bring you in, give you their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Well, then know, he says, this day, and lay it to your heart that Yahuwah, he is El, in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. Again, here it is. There is no one else. And so what? Yeah, so you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you this day, so it might go well with you, with your children after you, and you may prolong your days upon the land, which Yahuwah your El is giving you, ha yamim, for all the days. And that's the end, essentially, of this part of the speech. We get some action at this point where it says, Moshe then separated three cities beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise, to the east, that the manslayer might flee there. So these are the cities of refuge, that the person that slays his neighbor unawares, by accident. He didn't hate him before that time, so that he might flee unto one of these cities and live. And here they are. Bezer in Bamidbar, or Bamidbar in the wilderness, in the tableland, for the Reubenites. Ramot in Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassites. Now, this is HaTorah, which Moshe set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the ordinances which Moshe spoke to the Bnei Israel when they came forth out of Egypt. Beyond the Jordan, the valley over against Beth Peor, the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, he dwelt at Heshbon. And remember, Moshe and the children of Israel smote him when they came out of Egypt. And they took his land as possession. Oh, yeah, and don't forget that fellow, Og of Bashan, the two kings of the Amorites to the east, beyond the Jordan. From Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, unto Mount Sion, that's the same place, it's called Hermon. And all the Arabah beyond the Jordan to the east, under the sea of the Arabah, under the slopes of Pisgah. Okay, the next chapter, 5, begins this way. And now we're going to see some stuff that really ought to resonate, because obviously, these are vital. These are key to all of the Scripture. Moshe then called unto Kol Israel, and he said unto them, Shema Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I speak into your ears this day, that you might learn them and observe to do them. So Shema Israel, this is not the one that we remember, because that's coming up in the next chapter, but it's awfully similar, and he is literally setting up for that one. And he's making the same point, so that it's not the only time we hear it, is it? Yehuah Arel has cut, karat, a brit, a covenant with us in Horeb. He didn't make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, all of us who are here alive, ha yamim. This day, we are chayim, alive. Yehuah spoke with you face to face in the mountain, out of the midst of the fire. I stood between Yehuah and you at that time to declare the word of Yehuah unto you. Because you were afraid. Remember the fire? You didn't go up on the mountain, and y'all said you didn't want to do it. You wanted him to tell you instead. And here are the words that you heard. Now, this comes, the repetition in Deuteronomy chapter 5 of the ten Deberim. Starting with this one in verse 6. Anki Yehuah. Ani Anki. Now, it's almost the same word, but it's when it's in this phrase, I am Yehuah who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. It's Anki Yehuah. You shall have no other Elohim before my face. You shall not make unto yourself a graven image, any manner of likeness of anything in the heavens above, or the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You aren't going to bow down to them, nor serve them. For Ani Yehuah, I Yehuah, am a jealous El-Kanah, again, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the third and the fourth generation of those that hate me, showing mercy to the thousandth generation of them that love me and keep my commandments. Mitzvoti, my commandments. Verse 10. Now, this is the one that I always point out. This is not what you will hear on Sun God Day School. Don't say the GD word. That is not taking the name of Yehuah your El in vain, folks. It's not even his real name. It's a title. At best, they've hidden his name. Arguably, the claim is, well, that way, if you don't know what it is, you can't take it in vain. But how about if you hide it? Isn't that kind of diminishing it when he says you're supposed to know it? What it says in English is, you shall not take the name of Yehuah, your El, your Elohim, Yehuah Eloheka, actually, in this case, in vain. For Yehuah will not hold him guiltless who takes his name, the real one, in vain. GD has nothing to do with it. But I gotta ask, if you don't know his name, if we won't use his name, if you've taken his name clear out of the Bible, does not amount to diminishing it, taking it in vain? I mean, there's a whole lot of ways to look at this commandment, and saying the GD word honestly isn't one of them. Verse 11, observe, shamar, do, keep, guard. But that word shamar, the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. What? Don't change it? Don't add to and subtract from? Get rid of that one that he said to keep forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling places? Put a sun god day substitute in there? Nope. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it set apart, kadosh, as Yehuah Yirel has commanded you. Isn't it funny? We're just a few in here, and the whore church has gotten rid of a whole lot of these already, changed them into something else. 6 days you shall work, do your labor, but the seventh day is, in fact, a Sabbath unto Yahuwah your El. In it you shall not do any manner of work, not you, nor your son, nor your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your ox, your ass, any of your cattle, nor even the stranger that's within your gates, so that your manservant, your maidservant, may rest along with you. And you shall remember. Now, by the way, this is a bit different than it was in Exodus 20 the first time. You shall remember that you were a servant in the land of Mitzrayim. And Yahuwah your El brought you out of there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahuwah your El has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. I always read this with some interest because I look at it and I think, wait a minute, how about if you don't do this, haven't done this, have been told that it's done away with, changed, we got all these great pagan things instead. Is it any wonder then that the part about he has brought you out of bondage by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, maybe that's why, part of the reason anyway, people are going back into bondage? The next one. This is the place where there is a blessing. Honor your father and your mother, as Yahuwah your El commanded you, so that your days might be long, and that it might go well with you upon the land which Yahuwah your El gives you. From here, we go to the three two-word commandments among the Devarim. Lo tirtzach, thou shalt not slay. Kill is at best a kind of a poor translation. Thou shalt not murder is not quite as bad, but actually slay, I think, gets the meaning across a bit better. There is a... obviously, this does not include, for example, self-defense. That's not murder. How about manslaughter? Well, see, that's a different one. We're not supposed to do it. That's what the cities of refuge are for. But I think the word slay brings that across better. Thou shalt not slay. Nor shall you commit adultery. Lo tinaf. Lo tinaf. Now, let me say this again. This is not a commandment that goes afoul of the other things that are written in genuine print and scripture that have been changed, having to do with unless it's a licensed marriage and all that kind of jazz. No, this just simply says, if we understand what adultery is, adultery requires a woman who belongs to another man. In other words, a woman who has a living husband. That's the definition of adultery. A woman is not to be out committing adultery with others. And takes two to tango, as you know. A married woman and a man who sleeps with her commits adultery. That is forbidden. And we'll come to another one that's related, and this is one of those that Yeshua has made some connections in Matthew 5 here in just a second. Nor shall you steal, lo tignov. And as I've mentioned before, sometimes, since there's already a commandment that says you're not even supposed to covet your neighbor's stuff, not his ox or his ass or his wife or his house or his new Lamborghini or anything else that he has, anything that's your neighbor's, there are those that have interpreted this. A lot of the rabbis, for example, will say this really means steal children either, kidnap people. And it kind of makes sense because the commandment against coveting would prohibit any other kind of stealing as well. If you're not supposed to even covet it, then you can't very well steal it. Nor shall you bear false witness against your neighbor. Nor shall you covet your neighbor's wife. Tachmod, there, covet, to lust after. And again, we already have a prohibition against adultery with the neighbor's wife. Yeshua makes the point, when you look upon her with lust, you have broken both of these commandments, essentially, because there is a certain amount of repetition here. In other words, you're not to commit adultery with her. You're not even to lust after her, the thought preceding the action. Nor shall you desire or covet your neighbor's house, his field, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is your neighbor's. Back to the summary. Moshe then says, these words Yahuwah spoke unto all of your assembly, Kol Ha'edah, in the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, the thick darkness, with a great voice, and it went on no more. And he wrote all of this upon two tablets of stone, gave them unto me. Now it came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the fire was burning on the mountain, you came near unto me, the heads of all your tribes, your elders, and you said, Whoa, behold, Yahuwah has shown His glory and His greatness. We've heard His voice out of the midst of the fire. We've seen this day that Elohim does speak with man, and He lives. That's good. So why should we die? Yeah, this scared the you-know-what out of us. For this great fire will consume us. If we hear this voice, the voice of Elohim, any more, then we shall die. So they basically said, whoa, this scared us. For who is there of all flesh that's heard the voice of the living Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire like we have and lived? So you, talking to Moshe, you go near, you hear all that Elohim, our Lord Yahuwah, has to say, and then you can speak it unto us, all that He speaks unto you, and then, trust us, we'll hear it and we'll do it. Now Yahuwah heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and then He told me the following. I've heard the voice of the words of this people, and they have spoken unto you, and what they have said has been well spoken. Okay, so he basically says that sounds good. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all coal of my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. So go say to them, return to your tents. But as for me, you stand here by me, I'll speak unto you all the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances. And you, Moshe, he says, you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land which I am giving them to possess. So you shall observe to do, therefore, as Yahuwah your Elohim commanded you, do not turn aside unto the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which Yahuwah your Elohim commanded you, that you might live, that it might be well with you, and you can prolong your days on the land that you're going in to possess. Now this, it says, this is chapter 6, is the Ha-Hukim. I'm sorry, wait a second. I misread that. This is, the Zot is Ha-Mitzvah. So that is singular. The commandment singular. But Ha-Hukim, of course, is plural. So the commandment singular, the statutes, and the ordinances, the Mishpatim, which Yehuerel has commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land that you're going over to possess, that you might fear Yahuwah, your El, to keep all of His statutes and His commandments, which I command you and your son and your son's son all the days of your life, that your days might be prolonged. So this is the commandment. You know what we're working up to, right? This is the one that is, as Yeshua says, the most important single commandment in the book. So therefore, hear, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it might be well with you, that you might increase mightily, as Yahuwah, the El of your fathers, has promised unto you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, the most important commandment in the Scripture. Shema Yisrael, Yahuwah Elohim, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Echad. Hear, O Israel, Yahuwah your El, Yahuwah is Echad. And that word, it's translated as one, and I think, one is a cardinal number, that's okay, but it's actually more than that. He is, in fact, a unity. You could even say the unity. And the commandment goes on, though, and you shall love Yahuwah your El with all your heart, and with all your soul, your nefesh, and with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you today, they shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently unto your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the mitzutzot, literally the doorposts of your house, and that's what the little box is called. It's on the doorpost, and this is one of those places where at least a lot of people have taken this literally. I don't have a problem with taking it literally, but it's also intended to be figurative and more than that, and he's making the point. You shall write them upon the mitzutzot of your house and on your gates, and it'll be that when Yahuwah brings you into the land, which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you these great and goodly cities, which you didn't build, these houses full of all kinds of good stuff, you didn't fill them up, cisterns that are hewn out, you didn't hew them, vineyards and olive gardens, you didn't plant them, and then you shall eat and be satisfied. So beware then, lest you forget Yahuwah, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall fear, that root word Yareh, Yahuwah your El. Him you shall serve, by his name you shall swear. Remember Yahushua, when he is confronted and told, oh, I'll give you all this good stuff. And his essentially restatement of this is, Yod Heh Vav Heh, and him alone you shall serve. You'll not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples that are all around you, because he is, and this is making the point, again, Yeshua is teaching it exactly the way it should be understood. He is Elkanah, a jealous El, even Yahuwah Yirel, Yahuwah Eloheka. He's in the midst of you, lest the anger of Yahuwah be kindled against you, and he destroys you, literally, from off the face of the earth. You shall not do it again. You shall not try Yahuwah Yirel the way you did at Massa, the first time they had water, and Moshe smote the rock, if you remember. You shall instead diligently keep his commandments and of Yahuwah Yirel and his testimonies and his statutes. These same three words keep appearing. They are elements of the law, remember. They're not the totality. They're elements of his commandments, his testimonies, his statutes, which he has commanded you. And here's the bigger issue. This is why I will suggest Torah is so much more than just law. Because here's what he says. And you shall do that which is right and good in the sight of Yahuwah. Do you get the idea here? The statutes, the judgment, commandments, these are important. These are a necessary but not sufficient condition, is how a mathematician would put it. But understand, Yeshua taught with parables. There are examples in the Scripture. There's teaching. The whole point is we're supposed to look beyond that so that we can, in fact, do this. Do that which is right and good in his sight. And if we have some understanding, if we diligently search and walk in obedience, we can do this. Do that which is right and good in his sight. That it might be well with you, that you may go in and possess this good land which he swore to your fathers. Thrust out all of your enemies before you, as Yahuwah has spoken. And when your son comes to you in this time ahead, and he says, hey, Dad, what does this mean? All these testimonies and statutes and ordinances which Yahuwah, our El, has commanded you. Well, then you say to your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and Yahuwah brought us out of Egypt by a mighty hand. And Yahuwah showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, all of his house, right before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us this land which he swore unto our fathers. So this, too, is a little bit of a repetition. It has kind of the flavor of when you teach your son. It is one of those things that gets repeated during the Pesach, the Passover Haggadah, having to do with what are we supposed to say when children ask, and they should, that we might do exactly what he says, teach. And it says this, then Yahuwah commanded us to do all of these statutes, to fear Yahuwah El, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And this shall be righteousness unto us. Now here's that word again. Whenever I see the word righteousness, I want to make sure we understand. What is righteousness? Oh, is it being high and mighty? Is it being able to virtue signal on to Facebook and Twitter? I'm more righteous than you because, you get banned tonight. No. Righteousness, folks, is real simple. It is obedience to Torah. It is doing that which is right and good in the eyes of Yod Heh Vav Heh. How do we know? Because he wrote it out for us in genuine print, as he commanded us. Chapter 7 is where the Torah portion this week ends. And it says this, when Yahuwah Yirel finally does, when he brings you into the land that you're going to possess, he shall cast out a whole bunch of nations before you. And apologies to the late Brad Scott. There we go, for a second. It's been several years since he passed. But when he would read this list, and I'll do it the way he did in memory. When he casts out all these nations before you, the Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, and all the other mosquito bites, all of those nations, seven of them actually, greater and mightier than you, when Yahuwah Yirel delivers them up before you, then you shall smite them. You shall, in fact, utterly destroy them. And listen to this and understand it. You shall make no covenant with them. You shall not cut karat a brit. Make no treaty with the inhabitants of the land, is the way some Bibles translate it. But don't make any covenants or agreements with them, nor show mercy unto them. Now, that ain't all. Obviously, if you whack them all, then there's not going to be an issue with this, but it does make it clear. Nor shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter is not to give up unto his son, nor are your to his daughter to take that unto your son, to be his wife. Because all of this will turn away your son from following me. And they'll end up going and serving other fake gods. And that will kindle the anger of Yahuwah against you, and he will, in fact, destroy you quickly. Now, here's another one of those places where every time I read this, I point out it's interesting to look at the Hebrew verbs here. This is called the PL conjugation of these words. And the example I like to give is if it says, if there's a root word, for example, that means to break down something, the PL conjugation is smash the living hell out of it. Bash it to smithereens. So PL is real emphatic. So as we go through this, you'll see over and over again this PL conjugation that helps to bring home the point, right? Don't make any covenant with them, but here's what you're going to do with them. You shall smash to smithereens their altars, dash in pieces their so-called sacred pillars, hew down their asherim, their sacred trees, and burn, literally, what's the word? Incinerate. There you go. Incinerate their graven images with fire. Because you are a set apart, a Kadosh people unto Yahuwah your El. Yahuwah, your El, has chosen you to be his own treasure out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. And he, in fact, didn't set his desire, his love upon you, nor choose you, because there were so many of you, more than any other people. Because, in fact, you were the fewest of all the peoples. But because Yahuwah loved you. Because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers. That is why Yahuwah brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So know therefore the following, that Yahuwah, your El, he is El, the faithful El who keepeth the covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. On the other hand, it says he repays those that hate him to their face to destroy them. I'm going to pause. This is good news, folks. This is encouragement in a time where we look and we see literally a nation that once understood that there were certain self-evident truths that this week has made it real clear. They hate him. They hate his word. They hate his law, his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. They hate everything about his book, and they hate all of those who walk in obedience to him, too. He says it this way, therefore know he is El. He keeps covenant. Mercy unto them that love him and keep his commandments. There's the key. There is a condition. Keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. He repays those that hate him, though, literally to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him or to her that hates him. He will repay him to his face. So therefore, and this is the last verse in the portion, and it's vital to understand, and it really kind of is a capstone to all of this. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment. The commandment, right? Remember that one? I think that's what it's referring to, the singular commandment, the one Yahushua says is most important. Shema Israel, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Echad. Vehavta et Yahuwah Eloheka. Vekol Levavka, Vekol Nefeshka, Vekol Meodeka. With all your heart, with all your soul, all your might, you shall love him. Hear and obey him. Therefore, you shall keep that commandment and the statutes and the ordinances which I command you this day to do them. And may it be so. Again, he's going to make this clear as we're going to see in the rest of the book of Devarim or Deuteronomy here. But remember, folks, doing so brings a blessing. And I don't think it's ever been more important to understand that than it is right now.